Good morning and welcome to the Warrior Wake Up Podcast. I'm your host, Pastor Jonathan Pate, and I got a special guest with me today. Not only is he my kinfolk, my uncle, but he's also Minister Tim Warren, also the former pastor of Church of God's Hope, former pastor of Fourth Avenue Baptist. And we're just excited and honored to have Minister Tim Warren with us today. How you doing, Tim?
I'm doing good, Jonathan. Thank you for having me today.
Glad to have you on here. All right, we got a few questions we're going to get started into if you're ready. You ready?
I'm ready as all everybody.
All right. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your ministry now and just kind of about things like that, like about what you got going on right now in ministry or kind of like where you're at?
Well, you know, we kind of had a season of rest when I resigned from the church when you took over. And since then, you know, I've went and spoke at a couple places, and I'm always open for that. You know, I was getting some invitations and stuff. Of course, then we had all this coronavirus outbreak and everything, so things, I guess, kind of slowed down for everybody. I know you pastors are having to be kind of creative in ways of trying to minister to people, but evangelistic type work, you know, it's kind of slowed down a little bit for people like me, but just been trying to get in the Word and, you know, pray and just seeking what direction God wants us to go and what He has for us next.
Well, I know we all of us, you know, pastors, ministers, outreach ministers, everything, there's always, you know, we're always on the go, we're always doing stuff, but I think there's all of us at some point in time have probably had that season where we had some rest, and we probably needed that rest to kind of refuel, reignite, so to speak. Why don't you tell everybody a little bit about, you know, maybe when and how you got started in ministry?
Oh, wow. You know, I started in ministry, I was going to say 2002, but really it was before that, because when we were at North Highland Baptist Church, you know, my wife and I were children's pastors there. I was also a deacon there, and then I was also the choir director there. So I was wearing many hats there at a small church, you know, kind of people get spread a little thin. So, you know, as good as anybody, it's kind of hard sometimes at a small church. People sometimes have to play more than one role or do more than one ministry. And, so we started out with that, but all that went real well. And then in 2002, I actually felt the call to go into the ministry as a, you know, to preach the gospel and to, and I had a, you know, pastor's, I've had a pastor's heart. I always have a pastor's heart, whether I'm pastoring a church or not. I feel like sometimes I'm a pastor when I'm not even at a church because, you know, I have a lot of people come to me at work and different places like that for pastoral advice and things like that. Right. So I kind of always feel like that regardless of where I'm at a building or not or whatever. You know, that's just kind of my heart set, you know.
Right. You know, we always say church don't dwell in four walls, that we are the church. But go ahead.
Oh, yeah. That's
I know what you mean.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Church don't dwell in four walls. And people that don't know me, I'm kind of unique in a way that I'm a little different. I guess I've been persecuted a little bit for not willing to back down. You're kind of the same way, Pastor. You're kind of the same way.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to stand for what you believe in, you know. And if the truth's the truth, you're going to stick with it. And sometimes, you know, unfortunately, some people get upset, church people sometimes, when you just tell the truth. And that's just how it is. But, you know, you just got to pray for them and go on, because there's going to be those that accept the truth and grow from it, too.
Yeah, you know, I couldn't agree with you more on that. You know, we had a Christian rock band, Harkin, on the other day. You know, they're actually leading some worship now for us. But we were just talking, you know, we kind of mentioned that, how, you know, sometimes when you speak the truth and you speak boldly, sometimes, you know, people do get offended. I mean, you know, you look at Jesus and you say, well, Jesus didn't offend nobody, but I mean, they crucified him, so the people must have been pretty offended, you know. So tell us, this is probably a pretty good question. Who or what would you say had the biggest impact on you coming to know Christ?
I'd have to say probably my mother. And, you know, it was one of them things where I was always, you know, my mother always took us to church. Now, I don't believe everything the way my mother believed,
but
I thank God that she took us to church. And of course, she, don't get me wrong. Now, when I say we didn't believe everything, I'm talking about nitpicky stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she, of course, you know, your grandma.
Yeah, I mean, I know me and you had discussed how, you know, like sometimes people grow up a certain way as far as like what they're taught. And we have both always said that, you know, you just need to read the Bible for yourself to kind of, you know, to see how God has shown you, you know, because that may be different than somebody else sees it. Even if it was your mother or your grandmother or somebody in your family, because not to say that they don't love the Lord, but maybe they're looking at the Bible from a different aspect or a different point of view, you know, and not saying they're wrong or right, but just saying that, you know, some people have different perspectives on it. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, you hit the nail right on the head, Jonathan. No, my mother was my biggest influence in coming to Christ, but at the same time, I'm talking about just coming to Christ in general.
Right.
I love my mother, and I know she's in heaven now. You know, she passed back in November. But she was the biggest influence of me coming to know Christ. But as I growed in Christ, I realized, you know, there were some things that I needed to dig in and see for myself. And it took some other brothers and, you know, sisters and different Christian people to show me some things that, you know, never think you can't learn from somebody else.
Right.
Because, I've had a lot of people show me some things and, you know, and I'm pretty strong, you know, strong willed. And, but the Lord showed me I had to sit back and go look at something. I had a brother tell me one time, he said, well, before you say no, go study it. And I've learned to do that. And somebody tells me something,
right,
you know, I see this in the scripture, you know, what do you think about this? And, there's a lot of things that on the surface, you might say, no, that's not right real quick.
Mm-hmm.
And then you take a deeper look and you realize maybe that brother or sister could have been right.
Yeah. I mean, I know even in my walk from when I started as a youth pastor at Church of God's Hope to now coming back, my perspective, I mean, I believed in the word then just the same way I do now, but my perspective and my viewpoints and how I see things has dramatically, I won't say dramatically, but it has changed. My perspective on it has changed. And I just think that, you know, that comes from growth. You know what I mean? I think really it just comes from growth. And a lot of times I think that's the problem in today's churches. Instead of like reading the Bible for ourselves, and when I say today's church, I'm talking about like the body of Christ as a whole. Instead of reading the word for ourselves, we just want to, and of course, we want to listen to the pastor. And we, you know, as long as they're following God, we should, you know, listen to them and everything like that. But what we shouldn't just only go by the Sunday or Wednesday sermons or whatever. You know, we need to have our own one-on-one relationship and time with God. And I think too many times in the church, we've got people that because their grandmother believed a certain way or a grandfather or mother or whoever, you know, they just automatically believe that's the way it is. And they don't really research it. They don't really, you know, look it up, you know, to see if, you know, hey, did they teach me right? Or was maybe they wrong on a few things? You know what I mean? And not to cause division, but, you know, you want to get the proper context. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's right, Jonathan. One of my main things I used to tell our congregation, I used to say, look, don't believe me. Go back and read it for yourself. Study it for yourself and believe what God shows you in the word. You ain't got to believe me. I'm just trying to show you what I see or what I feel like God showed me. And when you go back and you look at things for yourself and you pray about it, a lot of times you come to realize that there's not as many, you know, the things aren't always what you thought they was, you know? And I like to challenge people and I hope this, I don't mean for it to come across offensive or nothing, but I might say, you know, well, you know, like you said, they grew up believing a certain way, and you can kind of sense that sometimes. And then you say, well, you know, can you show me that? And
right.
And sometimes, in a way, that's a good thing because it gets people digging in their word to see, you know, maybe where they are in maybe some kind of error or something, and they can come back and get closer. But here's my thing, because I look at things differently. A lot of people and I'm not, I don't want to send the wrong message here, but I look at it's the love of Christ, because the do's and don'ts. A lot of people look at the do's and don'ts when they're talking about your fruit. I don't look at fruit as do's and don'ts because we're all going to mess up and do some don'ts sometimes.
Right, that's right.
We all get in the flesh sometimes. Okay, and yes, I'm more maybe than others.
That's right.
And I'm not saying we shouldn't walk in the Spirit because we absolutely should.
Right.
But I feel like that if you truly had the love of Christ, the rest of it falls in place anyway. But I feel like that the fruit comes from love.
Yeah.
And if we have enough love in our heart and the love of Christ in our heart, and we truly love God and love our neighbor, which is the two greatest commandments, I feel like a lot of those do's and don'ts, you know, they'll fall into place. Because, you know, Apostle Paul said, if we live in Christ, we should also walk in Christ. Okay, but the thing is, we can be in Christ as far as being a believer and still be in the flesh a lot of times.
That's right.
Okay, but we can also be in Christ and walk in the Spirit. And he said, we walk in the Spirit, we're not under the law. So we're subject to no law when we walk in the perfect law of love.
Right.
So for me, it's all about love.
There's
and I know,
liberty.
Yeah, it's liberty, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And for me, it's all about love and the love of Christ. And, you know, and don't get me wrong, I don't believe that we can preach that and never preach that there's a hell. And if you're not, you know, if you don't know Jesus, that's where you're going.
Right.
You know, I know there's both, you know, two sides to it. But I, you know, I've been accused of being soft sometimes because I'm so geared toward the love of Christ. But the love of Christ, you know, I guess it's what kind of wins you to Christ, you know. And for me, the condemnation wasn't doing me no good. Right. What was winning me was to feel the love of Christ.
Yeah, same here. I mean, as you know, we got tons of people in our family that, you know, are ministers or are, I don't want to say they claim to be Christians and that's between them and God. But I had a lot of them, you know, back when I was in the world myself, you know, always telling me about Jesus. You know what I mean? I mean, I know I had a praying mother and praying grandmother and, you know, people praying for me. But when I was in the world, I know a lot of them always told me about Jesus. But, you know, pretty much, almost all of them, not all of them, but majority of them, you know, they always told me I'd be dead or in prison and always was kicking me when I was down. And that never helped me. It never helped me at all. It wasn't until I had somebody showing me the love of Christ that actually brought me to Christ, right? Because I looked at that person as like, well, they're not just telling me about Jesus, they're showing me Jesus. You know, it'd be like, if a guy comes up and he says, just for example, that he's hungry, and I say, okay, I'm going to pray for you, and that's good. But then I don't give him any food. You know, he's still going to be hungry.
Yeah, believe that's in the gospel, right?
That's right. You know, so, but let's switch it up for a minute. Okay, so now, I know that you need, I mean, I know that you used to be, the rumor is, that you used to be in a rock band called Steel Wings. Now, this goes way back here to some younger days. Now, I know you're a fan, but being that you're age, I'm going to put your age out there. He's not real old, y'all. I'm just kidding. But he's a bit, you were always kind of a big fan of like 80s music.
80s,
right?
Early
90s. Okay. Early 80s, 90s. And so what was it like early 90s when you were a member of a rock band?
Yeah.
And of course,
album come out in 1990
and it was called Steel Wings.
Believe.
Okay.
I'll never forget.
And we know a couple of buddies like Gary and Timothy Chumney were two guys in it, brothers. And we know Gary was just ridiculous on any instrument, but especially drums, but any instrument. And, of course, Timothy did an awesome job, too. And now you played bass for him at the time. Now you play a little bit of acoustic guitar as well, right? You've picked up a little bit of acoustic guitar and everything like that. So I want to get your opinion. Now, I know you're kind of, you know, you were always kind of a fan of what I would say, you know, maybe classic rock type stuff for the most part was kind of your music, you know, choice of music at the time. So I want to ask you, you know, what is your opinion on today's Christian music? Like, and when I say Christian music, I'm talking about just in general, like, you know, every genre, you know, whether it be Christian rap, whatever, just Christian music in general, praise and worship, you know, all of it. Just what is your, especially, you know, being in a band and stuff, and I know you still play bass some and everything, and just kind of what's your opinion on like Christian music today, kind of where it's at, where you think it's going, you know what I mean? Or how far you think it's came, maybe, or whatever.
Well, I'll say this. I would have probably been listening to contemporary Christian music back then if it had been as good as it is now.
Right.
I mean, it, you liking, you know, R&B and rap, you mm-hmm. probably same thing with you. Because I think it's just leaps and bounds, you know. Carmen kind of set the stage for that back in my day. You know, mm-hmm. he was about the only person we had back then doing those kind of things. And, you know, he took a lot of heat for that because you have a lot of these older people that, you know, thought.
And I think T-Bone was around.
Yeah.
I think it was T-Bone. Yeah. T-Bone was probably like the most.
And DC Talk.
And DC Talk. And, you know, DC Talk was kind of like rock slash rap, kind of like. Almost like a Christian version of the Beastie Boys.
Yeah, it kind of was.
And I know that I would say T-Bone was probably like the, I wouldn't say it was hardcore, but I guess you could say at that time it would be considered like the hardcore Christian rap.
For that time, yeah. At that time. For sure. You know, so. And I think it's come leaps and bounds, man, and I think it's a good thing. I think it's reaching an audience that never was reached before. And I've had people that were older come up to me and say, well, I don't believe you're playing at rock and roll in church or this or that, you know. And I made a comment to somebody one time. I said, look, you know, music in of itself, and I know this because I play music, music in of itself is neither good or bad.
That's right.
But when you bring those lyrics in, that's you know your rap music that's on your CD is not good or bad, mm-hmm. but your lyrics are good.
Right.
And when the lyrics come in, that's what matters. What's the message in the music? I don't care what the music is that gets the message out. I just care what the message is in the music.
Right.
And I think we, you know, sometimes we get caught up on, you know, being religious and, oh, you know. So I just want to tell this one thing because it's funny because I had a guy, they said, you know, he liked country music and he was like, well, I don't think they should play that rap or contemporary. I don't believe in that in the church or whatever. And listen, everybody's entitled to their opinion. But I said, look, I said, listen, brother, I said, let me tell you something. I said, you like that like hymn music, right? He said, yeah. I said, well, you realize that the music's not good or bad, but I just want you to know that kind of music started in bars. I said, and somebody took that good music they were hearing in the bars and put some godly lyrics to it.
Right.
I said, that's all they're doing today. So what's the difference? And I understand people, you know, it's okay that you don't have the same taste in music as me,
right.
or I don't of you, or you of somebody else. That don't matter. If you like hymns, there's nothing wrong with that. I like some of the old hymns myself.
Right.
Okay, but, which I like all kinds of music. I like some rap. I like, mm-hmm. I like it all. I like a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. But you can't take and make the, you know, say that the music is evil because it's got, you know, when you're talking about Jesus in the lyrics, you know.
Right. And I think that's one of the problems in some of the churches today is, you know, some of the people like myself, for example, that do Christian rap or whether they do Christian rock or whatever, especially Christian rock and Christian rap, you know, like singers that do praise music are pretty welcome in the church. But a lot of churches are not welcoming to Christian rap or Christian rock because, secular rap, a lot of it in the past has degraded women and a lot of cussing and things like that. But the thing is, this is not the same kind of rap. You know what I mean? And the same with the rock, you know. And I think that's what they got to understand, that the lyrics are glorifying God. And if it is, then it shouldn't matter what genre it is if it's glorifying God. You know, I had a lady tell me one time when we were doing a fundraiser car wash, she said, you know, you can't rap. And I said, why is that? And she said, because it's not holy. I said, well, why is it not holy? I said, if the lyrics glorify God, how is that not holy?
What's the chapter and verse on that?
Yeah, I don't know the chapter and verse on that because there ain't one. But I tell you, and I told this to I believe it was Logan LeGrand when I was interviewing him, the executive director of Mark for Life Ministries, or it may have been Harkin, the Christian rock band Harkin.
By the way, them guys do a great job.
Yeah. And I can't remember which one I was talking to, but one of them on the interview, I was talking about how really back in the day, going back to what you said, like with Carmen and everything, and you know, shout out to Carmen. We love you. We appreciate you putting Christian music, you know, where it is. But, you know, back in those days, especially being a lost person, you know, when I heard people like Carmen and stuff, I mean, I liked the music all right, but to be honest with you, the rapping part kind of come off as cheesy, you know? And so my image of what I thought Christian rap was like cheesy rap. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because Carmen wasn't really a rapper.
Right.
But he was a pioneer.
He was a pioneer.
He was willing to take the heat.
Right.
To get the message out.
Right. And here's the thing, though. Even though it was Cheesy Route, he was a pioneer, him and somebody like T-Bone, that kind of pioneered it so that it could go to where it is today.
Oh,
you know,
absolutely.
It's kind of, if you look back in secular music, and you may or may not know who some of these people are, but like Sugar Hill Gang and Grandmaster Flash and people like that, that kind of started pioneers of rap and stuff. But anyway, and today, you know, like when I first started rapping, I seen, like, I didn't even know, like, I thought I knew Carmen, I knew T-Bone, but there was just a whole, like, a ton of, like, Christian rap, Christian hip-hop, Christian rock that I didn't even know existed, right? And I was like, man,
where'd all this good music come from?
Yeah, and I was like, man, how did I not know about all this music? And I was like, because it wasn't just music. I mean, these rappers that were Christian rappers, like, they were better than any secular rappers I heard. And then the rock bands were just tearing it up. And I was like, how did I not know this whole genre even existed? You know, and I guess it's because a lot of times, you know, if you're living in the darkness, in that dark world, and you haven't been around that, you don't know it's there. That's why it's important for, you know, people like us that are believers and are saved, that we shine that light in the darkness to those folks. So, but anyway, I just kind of wanted to get an idea on that. So I think we're both in agreement that Christian music has evolved and came a long ways in a positive way.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think it'll probably continue to evolve. You know, and that's not a bad thing. As long as like when it's evolving, the lyrics are glorifying God.
Yeah, that's all that matters.
Then that's what matters.
Well, you know, people are scared of what they don't understand. And I went to a church up in Center for a while where I was working with the youth up there for a long time, and basically like a youth pastor there. And they had a couple people there had a wrestling ministry. Well, a lot of people love wrestling.
Yeah, I'm a big fan.
Yeah, you're a big fan. But, you know, them guys were going out there trying to wrestle them, but they would have a skit, and there was people getting saved, man. They were ministering to people, and people were coming down to that wrestling ring and giving their heart to Jesus. But, you know, they got ridiculed by a lot of people. I don't believe in this wrestling ministry. You don't believe that when three people got saved last night, you know? I mean,
my thing is, you know, the Word of God never changes, right? It's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. But I mean, I don't think there's nothing wrong with utilizing tools and resources.
Absolutely.
You know, it's kind of like, you know, I know me and you both love to fish, right? And the Bible talks about, you know, when the disciples were fishers and men.
Right.
Well, we know by going fishing together before that when you go fishing, you know, you got to have the right bait.
That's right.
All right? And not only do you got to have the right bait.
You got to hold your mouth right.
Yeah, you got to hold your mouth right. That's right. But not only do you have the right bait, but you got to have the right presentation.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
If you're not presenting it in a way that the fish, for example, can relate to it.
That's right.
They're probably not going to go for it.
That's,
you know what I mean?
Right.
And you're going to come home like me and my papa did one time with an empty basket.
With an empty basket.
And just so happened that the newspaper guy will be there to take a picture of you.
Well, you know, your phone, you take anything, a guitar, a phone, a computer, social media, I don't care what it is, you can make anything good or evil, you know? Because
yeah.
In itself, it's not good or evil. A phone ain't good or evil. A computer ain't good or evil.
Right, right.
A guitar ain't good or evil. You know, it's what you do with those resources.
Right.
And you can use those resources. Wrestling ain't good or evil.
Right, right.
You know, it's right. What you do with those things
yeah.
is what makes
and
it good.
And, you know,
or bad.
If you have those tools and resources, right, and you know that presentation of the gospel in that way can reach people, why would you not use it?
Right. Anything that brings somebody to Christ, for me, anything that brings
why
somebody to Christ.
Why would you not use it?
Even if it's something I'm not personally into,
right.
I'm still going to support it. I'm still going to support it because it's like, you know, it ain't my thing, but I appreciate you trying to win some people that I might not win
yeah.
to the Lord.
It's like I had a buddy of mine. He's a biker.
Yeah, use your bike for
right?
that, right?
Okay, he's in the Christian Motorcycle Association, but he also raps. So he came and rapped a few events with us, whatever. And something he told me was to going back to the people that only kind of just the hymnals, which there's nothing wrong with at all. You know, like you said, anything that'll get people saved, right? And he just said, I tell them, you know, if I can knee clap with you, then you can bounce with me. You know,
amen.
What I mean? So he tells them that. So, so real quick, we won't stay on this topic long, but what's kind of your opinion here lately of the whole coronavirus thing going on?
Well, I appreciated the message you brought here a while back. I think, you know, it's easy for, you know, it's easy for people to misunderstand people sometimes, but I know you brought a message talking about, you know, not, you know, trusting God, basically. Don't, you know, I'm not saying don't respect the thing. You know, I've went back to work. We haven't taken certain precautions. I'm not saying don't respect it. I mean, I wouldn't stand out, you know, if I seen the tornado coming, I wouldn't stand out in there and say, hit me. You know, I'd take cover, you know. But at the same time, you know, we got to trust in Jesus. We got to have faith in Jesus. Look, we've had a lot of things, you know, I've been blessed financially. It's weird that it come through this virus, but it's been a little bit of a blessing financially for us, which it's good because I got some things I'm going to have to get fixed that our house is going to be, you know, cost a little money, but we were able to pay some other things off and get some other things done to kind of offset that a little bit, you know, and that was, you know, all glory to God for that. But at the same time, I think you can, I don't want to say it's been overplayed, but at the same time, I do feel like for a certain group of people, it's not been overplayed at all.
Right.
But I do feel like there might be a little bit of overplay as far as like people that, I'm not saying we couldn't get it. I'm not saying I can't get coronavirus.
Right.
But what I'm saying is I'm not going to be scared of coronavirus.
Well,
I don't mean I'm going to go out and try to catch it. But
and there's nothing wrong with having the knowledge that you need and taking precaution and everything like that. But at the same time, we got Jesus. We don't have to live in fear.
Right.
And I think, like you said, when you say overplayed, I think, you know, it's like,
well, the media can take stuff.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It seemed like every time you turn on the news, that's all you hear about is the coronavirus.
Well, my wife, she likes to watch Dave Mirra, and I can't stand, and it's nothing against him personally, but I can't stand watching the ABC News. He has this doom and gloom. The way he talks is doom and gloom. Yeah. I said, I hate watching the news because when you get done watching it for an hour, they tell every horrible thing in the world, and then they tell one story at the very end that's kind of like a good story.
And you run around looking like a sad emoji.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, I can't watch that garbage. They turned the ball game on or something.
Well, you know, there's a saying that if you download garbage in, garbage is going to come out.
Yeah, it's just depressing, you know.
Yeah, it is.
And the thing is, they show all these numbers, and listen, I'm not saying coronavirus. It is bad. It is a worldwide bad pandemic. I think they're more scared because they haven't got a lot of treatments that they're sure about more than they are the actual sickness, because we deal with the flu every year, you know, and I don't think people realize how many people die from the flu every year.
More from the flu than that.
And but the difference is you had this on top of the flu. So I get why there's concern, but I also, you know, I also understand, I guess if you're out there listening, if you need to take precaution, especially if you're in a high risk group, take precaution, but at the same time, just don't be scared. Don't live in fear, because God's going to bring you through this. He's going to bring us all through it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I mean, I agree with you. And like you said, ain't nothing wrong with taking precautions. Nothing wrong with being safe. You know, but like I said, you know, we don't have to live in fear. But at the same time, like you said, man, the media is just, I mean, that's all you see when you turn it on is doom and gloom. And you're like, man, can we see some positive stuff, you know?
Right.
And you know, but when you think about it, the reason why I think the news plays a lot of that stuff is, I mean, you think about it, you know, controversy, sex and violence and controversy. I mean, that's what sells. That's what's ratings. You know what I mean? That's where ratings end. I mean, I know it's sad to say, but it is. It's the truth.
Well, yeah.
That's ratings.
It's not a news story unless it's negative, you know, 95% of the time.
Yeah, because that's where they get their ratings. Here's a question now. Let's change it up for a minute, since, you know, we're going to get off coronavirus, since, you know, everybody, we always talk about that, but I just kind of wanted your take on that. But what is the funniest moment you have had in ministry?
Oh, my wife's going to kill me when I say this. When we were, because, you know how easily my wife gets embarrassed. Like, it's really easy for her to get embarrassed.
For those of y'all know his wife, she's a very, like, quiet type person.
I got probably two of them, I can tell you. It's kind of hard to decipher between the two. She was, this was back when I was pastoring at Forest Avenue, a pretty long time ago. And there was a little, to coming down into the sanctuary, there's this little side door, and there's like five steps right there. You remember where they come down? Well, she was walking down through there, coming out one day, and she slipped on the top step.
Oh.
And she busted her rear end all the way down to the bottom.
Uh-huh.
And she was so embarrassed.
But she didn't get hurt or nothing.
She didn't get hurt. Okay. That's why I think it
wouldn't
was
funny. Wouldn't have been funny if she got hurt.
It wouldn't have been funny if she got hurt, but it didn't hurt her. But it hurt her pride. But it hurt her pride. That's one of them. Another one, when I was still up at Clearview, working with the youth up there, there's a young lady up there that she's done graduated, but I don't know if she went on to college. But anyway, I think she's doing well now. But Brooke, we were in there, and her and a few more of the youth kids were in there, and we were having a lesson on a Wednesday. It might have been on a Wednesday night. And I was talking about, you know, the story where the guy had the demon possessed man that, you know,
yeah,
nobody could tame him, and
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
and Jesus cast the demon into the pig.
Right.
Well, I, as the youth pastor, was, you know, you got to be creative with kids, you know, mm-hmm, and I was running around the room. I said, couldn't you imagine those pigs? And I was oinking, you know, and running around the room, and she got to laughing so uncontrollably. I mean, she couldn't stop, and it's almost like she couldn't breathe. She was laughing at me so hard. So I've had a few, you know, I've had a lot. I mean, I try to have fun with ministry because I feel like if I show that I have joy and you have joy, you're going to want what we got, you know.
Right.
Me and you both kind of like that. I'm not going to run around, you know, mully grubby much. I had a guy tell me, I come to work one day, and a guy, he said, you just a half glass type full every day, ain't you? Half glass full guy.
Yeah.
I said, I'm not. And he looked at me funny. You ain't a half glass empty. I said, no, I'm a bubbling over. And that's the way I try to feel, you know. I mean, don't get me wrong. Everybody has their ups and downs.
Yeah.
But I preached this one time, you know. There's a little bit of difference between happiness or being happy in a moment,
mm-hmm,
and joy.
Right.
You can have joy in the storm.
That's right.
You know, yeah. I mean, a lot of people don't understand that. You can have joy of the Lord in the storm because you know, you still know, even though you're in the storm, you know God's going to bring you. You got that joy that you know you're saved and know nobody can take
yeah,
that away from
right,
you know.
And the Bible tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength.
That's right.
You know,
it's, you know, you can be happy in a moment,
right,
and, you know, and it's good to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Laughter's, Bible says laughter's good for the
right,
soul.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, if laughter's good for the soul, I think Jesus, you know, he loves our soul. I think Jesus probably, I think people might be surprised that Jesus might have been a little more lighthearted
yeah,
than people realize.
That's right.
He might have been a little bit funny like a lot of preachers
yeah,
are. And I hear a lot of ministers, some of the funniest people I ever hear, that are is perfectly clean. Some
mm-hmm,
of the funniest guys I ever hear are other pastors.
Oh, yeah,
I mean, they,
yeah,
they tell some of the funniest stuff I've ever seen.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, hey,
yeah,
guys are funny. You know,
you know,
I mean?
a lot of people have that misconception that, you know, when you get saved, you know, that you're dull and you're boring and you can't have no fun. And it's just not the case. It's just not true, man. You can be in the kingdom of God and keep it clean and still have a blast, you
absolutely,
know. I mean, I've had more fun in the kingdom of God than I ever had in the world, and I mean, I went hard in the world. Everybody knows that.
Well, because the you know, the condemnation's gone and the,
yeah,
and the conviction's gone. If you're walking in the
yeah,
spirit, the conviction's gone. Conviction might be there if you're doing something off track, but I'm saying if you're walking with the Lord, there's, you know, well, when you don't have that weighing you down,
right,
you know.
I mean,
you know, Hebrews says it's the sin that weighs us down. You
yeah,
know
yeah.
I mean?
And I was talking about how I knew a guy that I used to work with when I was real young. His name was Frank, Mr. Frank. And he was a real tall guy. And he was a really nice guy. And, like, I'm telling you, man, he was so full of the Lord that his light just shined everywhere he went. I mean, he was always smiling, always saying, God is good, you know. And, I mean, we bagged groceries and stuff together in Anniston. And, man, I would see people, like, he would do everything he was supposed to do as far as doing this job right. And I would see employees or managers or whatever talk to him the wrong way. I would see customers cuss him out and stuff. And he would just smile. And God is good. And like, it's like, and to be honest with you, way back then, I was like, man, what is the deal with that dude? Nothing rattles this dude. Like, I mean, nothing can shake this dude. Like, they cuss at him. I'm talking about they get right up in his face. And he's just joyful. Like it's like nothing phases him. You know what I mean? And, you know, and that's the kind of joy I believe when you see that kind of joy.
If I got that happy, can I have that?
Yeah, you're like, can man, I need that. Whatever that dude's got.
Amen.
Because I know I got problems in my life, and whatever that dude's got, that's what I need, you know.
Right.
And especially when you're lost and you're thinking that, you know what I'm saying? You're like that. Heck, even some of the Christians probably are thinking that, you know what I mean?
That's right.
But nothing rattled that guy. So tell us, you know, if you hear me call him Vet, that's like our nickname for him because, like, he's 6 years older than me. So, you know, I used to always call him the veteran because he was a little bit older than us. So if you hear me say that, that's what we're talking about there. But tell us, you know, a lot of times I'm interviewing artists such as rappers and singers, DJs, dance teams. But we also interview pastors and ministers and stuff like that. So, you know, different forms. And normally I would say, do you got any new projects? But do you have anything in the works as far as like, kind of like, I know you're in a season of rest right now. Do you know maybe, you know, has God kind of told you what your next step might be, what you may be, you know, where you may be headed next? Do you got any, you have any idea about that? Or are you still praying about that?
I'm still praying about it, but I feel like I'm getting closer.
Okay.
And I've realized kind of where I know I've got to be at a certain place in a certain situation. Mm-hmm. And I know that, and I think I'm getting a whole lot closer. Mm-hmm. You know, but it's got to be a thing for my whole family, you know. But also, you know, I told you, you know, we had this season of rest. It's funny because then God let me be off work for like almost 2 months, you know. I mm-hmm. mean, and I telling my wife was going to, because you know what we went through last year.
Right.
You know, we had a rough year last year.
Yeah.
And so with everything we went through last year, and then we got this season of rest, and I told Loretta, my wife, I told her, you know, sooner or later we got to come out of the season of rest, you know, mm-hmm. we got to get back doing what God's got us to do,
whatever that
might be.
Right.
But during this season of rest, I've also had, I write music, and I've had a chance to write, you know, work on some of my songs and things like that, you know,
mm-hmm.
Chance to do some of that kind of stuff. But
you actually, back when you was in the rock band back then, you wrote a few of those songs, right?
I did, actually.
How many, changing the subject, not really changing the subject, but on top of your own, how many songs do you think you've probably wrote all together?
If you count what I wrote with the rock band, probably...
Well, let's just go with, go ahead.
But the only one I wrote for the rock band, I kind of co-wrote some of them.
Yeah.
But the only one I actually wrote for the rock band was just actually, a love song.
Okay.
It could almost be interpreted as a song from, you know, how God loves you. But it was like a love song for my wife. But anyway, I wrote it, and then I've wrote, but as far as, I ain't gonna say contemporary.
Yeah, see, that was him trying to make up for when she fell down the stairs. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, I do have a lot of contemporary stuff, but then I have some more Southern gospel songs. Mm-hmm. I have a very wide genre.
So how many songs would you say you've wrote altogether?
I probably wrote or co-wrote about 20.
Okay.
Probably about 10 that think are pretty good.
You're a minister, you still would kind of consider yourself also a songwriter.
Oh, 100%.
Now, would you consider yourself a singer-songwriter?
Oh, no, I'm not. I'm no. No.
So just a songwriter.
No, I wouldn't even consider myself a guitar player-songwriter because I'm not that good a guitar player, but I can play just... God gave me enough ability to play guitar, to write music.
So,
you know?
But you would consider yourself a songwriter.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Very much so. Very much.
By the way, man, shout out to Keegan Bost. Man, you did an awesome job last night. For those of y'all don't know, man, go check out Keegan Bost, man. He was on the NBC show Songland last night. He's from Gadsden, Alabama. And Julia Michaels was the judge, and she actually picked his song for her to perform or whatever. So it's pretty cool, man. For somebody like Keegan, who I know is a godly dude, I think he's the worship leader down there at Cornerstone Church, but it's pretty awesome, man, that he went on there as a young guy, took a shot, on taking a song and presenting it to him, and actually, his song was actually picked. So that's pretty cool, man. That's pretty awesome. Shout out Keegan Boss, man.
Let me say this too. When I say I consider myself a songwriter, not because I think I'm good or nothing like that at it, and I'm not what I'm saying, because I enjoy doing it.
Yeah.
And everything I write, I just, I don't, it ain't like I want to get money off of it or anything like that. I mean, Lord bless me that way. I mean, that's up to, you know, that'd be great too.
But is it, can it touch somebody?
But my thing is, can the message of that song win somebody to Christ? You know, that's my, I mean, I've even played some of the songs I wrote. One of mine kind of become a, I actually started getting a lot of requests for it over at the Hope. When, when I, you know, when I play today, they want me to play it a lot of time. Like, every time they'd be like, hey, play that.
So are you, you said you're still writing since you've had this time off. Well, now I know you went back to work today, right? Or yesterday?
I went back yesterday.
Or yesterday. So in that time off, though, you was able to write a little bit. So do you feel like you're going to try to continue maybe songwriting? Or are you going to kind of like try to continue doing songwriting?
I'll always write songs because it's almost like therapy for me.
Right.
Songwriting's therapy.
Ready to release, kind of.
It is. It really is. The latest, you know, the latest song I wrote, I actually put two together, and I decided I was going to make two different songs, but they were so similar, I decided to tie them together. And I would love to let Harkin hear it because I think they could play it better than I could.
you know, I think me personally, and you probably like this too. I think it is kind of like therapy music because what's always good is when you can take like your life story or some of the stories from your own life experience and put them in a song and it be so genuine and so real that when somebody else that is going through that struggle hears it, you know, they can't help but be drawn to it because, you know, they've dealt with that and hopefully that'll bring them to Christ by, you know, cause we always want to give God the glory for, you know, we may have went through them struggles, but also, you know, talking about how he brought us out of those struggles and everything.
Right. Well, I know you're more of a rap guy, but I know one of the songs I've wrote that you've heard that was, not that you, I know you like rap better, but one that you liked okay was the He's With Me on the Mountain.
And
that's kind of what that was, you know. I was kind of in a place where, I wrote that when I was kind of in a place where, you know, things had went good, but then things had kind of got really rough, you know, and then, you know, your ups and downs in life and the, but, you know, like the song says, you know, he's still around, you know, and sometimes, you know, we lose hope, you know, we don't lose hope as believers, but I'm saying people could lose hope if they don't understand that Jesus is still around. Even in the rough times, he's still around.
Right.
And then we can't lose sight of when we're on the mountain to praise him and glorify and thank him that we're in a good place, but we also need to praise him, like the song says, the you know, casting crown song. We got to praise him in the storm too, you know.
That's right.
So he's with me on the mountain, you know, and but he's still with me in the valley, you know. When things go wrong, he'll help you to be strong.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so you know, that was kind of what I was, you know, them words was what I was feeling, you know.
Right.
I mean,
that's right.
So you know, writing songs is very intimate and
therapeutic.
And therapeutic and emotional sometimes, you know. Some of the best songs I've written were wrote with emotion.
Yeah.
And but I've wrote, like, the newest song I wrote was more, I've been in a pretty good place in the last, you know, I've had this season of rest and I've been a little relaxed. So it was more of an upbeat, you know. And the newest song I had written was a song called I'm trying to remember the name of it now. I'll get it here in just a second. Okay. Let me think just a second. Anyway, I'll think of it in a minute. I can't think of it right this second.
That's all good.
I went blank.
Also, man, while we're on here, man, y'all go on Facebook, hit up the Warrior Wake Up Podcast. You can check it out on Spotify and all the other platforms or whatever. But go on there, man, and let me know, man, because as y'all know, man, I go by Chosen and I do Christian rap. But I'm actually contemplating dropping a worship album, man, a praise and worship album. So y'all go on there, man, on the Warrior Wake Up Podcast and just let me know, man, what y'all think about me dropping a praise and worship album, man.
As His Name We Live. That's His name we live.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
cool.
That's the name of it.
So, and then I want to ask this, and I'm pretty sure I already know the answer to this, but
good praise.
Can anybody find, like, how can somebody find you on social media?
They probably can't.
They probably can't. Okay.
That's my problem.
So, like, if someone was to.
I'm a ghost.
Okay, so if somebody was to hear our interview here on the Warrior Wake Up Podcast, you know, and say they were interested in maybe, like, you know, purchasing a song from you, or maybe even just just singing a song, you know, or something like that. You know, how can they get in touch with you would be...
Oh, they can call me, they can call me 256-328-5663.
Okay, that's 256-328-5663, and that's Tim Warren. If you want to check out some of his songs, or maybe you want to purchase a song from him, I don't know how many he's got for sale, if he does, or whatever.
Well, I ain't got nothing recorded.
But you can just kind of talk to him. And you can call him up or text him. Probably best to text him and just tell him what's going on, and maybe he'll get back with you, and then y'all can figure it out from there.
Well, so that's part of what I need is I need to get in the studio, and I need a good vocalist.
Okay.
I need a good vocalist to maybe sing some of what I got. And I would love to have some supporting band because some of my music's acoustic and sounds good acoustic, but some of it,
I'm pretty sure we can arrange that.
Some of it could use some drums and the guitar.
Pretty sure we can arrange that.
I can play the bass now. I can play the bass okay enough to play on my album, but I would need a better guitar player than me.
I'm pretty sure we can arrange all that for you. So, is there anything else? Is there anything else you'd like to share with us?
Well, I just want to say, you know, like you said, I'm glad you brought up the music because I do have a really big passion for that. You know, it's something I've always wanted to do all my life is record a Christian album. I just ain't never really known how to go about it. And it's kind of like with the songwriting. I've always wanted to submit it, like I said, not for my gain, but just to get it out there so people can hear it, you know.
Right.
And what the Lord chooses to do as far as financial, whether it's nothing or something,
it's all about touching the lives.
I don't care either way, you know.
Yeah.
I don't care either way, but if somebody can, you know, if somebody can hear one of them songs and it went, but I do feel like there's some things in your music too, my music also, that I think would reach somebody, you know, reach some people. You know, I think there's, you know, forgiveness is a song. I've had a lot of people tell me this, heard me play that song, that, man, I'd like to have that on a recording. Where can I get that on a record? Because it touched them because it's about what Jesus done, you know. And I have a lot of, I mean, I have, and I like I said, my genre is so, I'm really weird because you can't, it's hard to kind of peg a classic because some of my stuff you said sounds like the Gaithers. But then I have some stuff that sounds.
I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with that.
Well, then I have some stuff that sounds like Casting Crowns.
I mean, you know, you think about it, the Gaithers has won a whole lot of awards.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I don't think there's nothing wrong with that.
But I'm saying, you know, most artists are one or the other, and I go from the Gaithers to Casting Crown type stuff. You know, I'm from one end of the spectrum to the other, you know, as far as music, you know, you know, and then I got some that's kind of almost in between, sounds like Crowder, you know, it's kind of like a Lynyrd Skynyrd-ish, you know, Southern rockish sound, you know, so I got a pretty broad spectrum there of what I play, and I would have one of them albums that people would like one or, you know, two or three songs on there, and a different group would like two or three, and a different group would like two or three, and probably none of them would like all of them, you know, because they're different, you know.
Gotcha. You know, man, we just want to thank Minister Tim Warren for coming on here with us, man, on the Warrior Wake Up podcast, man. We really appreciate him coming on there. We appreciate you coming on here, Tim. We really do, man. And we just thank you. You know what I mean? We know that he's all about the kingdom of God. So anyway, man, this is your host, Pastor Jonathan Pate, a.k.a. Chosen Man. You know, let's see. I think Mr. Tim's got one more thing he wants to say.
I just want to tell everybody out there, just please keep me and my family in your prayers as we try to get the Lord to direct us in the next thing we go to do.
Yeah, man. Y'all be praying for Mr. Tim and his family, that God will, you know, direct him where he needs to go, man. We're going to go ahead and give him that scripture of Proverbs 3:5-6 to start right there, which I know he knows that already. But, man, we honor and appreciate him coming on here, man. It's the Warrior Wake Up podcast, man, where you already know the deal. You know, we always keep it real. We keep it 100. And it ain't just a podcast, man. It's a movement. But it's a movement for the kingdom of God. But anyway, this is your host, man, Pastor Jonathan Pate, a.k.a. your boy Chosen. And we out of here. God bless you.